Torway, Northwest London, Sunday morning, Yud Zayin Elul, the 3rd of September, Rabbi Moshe Cohen Shliter, the borders of Eretz Yisrael. This week's Torahway Shurim have been sponsored by family Max Grosnas on the yahrzeit of his late shver, Reb Arya ben Reb Moshe Basala Reich, Zichron Levrocha. And this week's Torahway have also been sponsored by our friend Ronnie Joseph, Leil Nishmas Reb Moshe ben Reb Yosef, his father Zichron Levrocha, on his first yahrzeit, which will be on Yud Tesad Elul.
Good morning to everybody. Shalom Aleichem. Regards from Eretz Yisrael from Yerushalayim. I'm going to be speaking about Torah Eretz Yisrael, where I come from.
Sorry, one of them's just beginning to.
Started knocking it with your arm. Sorry, it's okay. It's violent.
Leave it.
Just don't bump and go backwards. We'll do our best. Okay. Now, every year we read in the Chumash Parshas Maaseh and Parshas Shoftim. Parshas Maaseh, the borders of Eretz Yisrael, are written very clearly. You also want to have a Chumash in front of them, chapter 34. And the details mentioned in Parshas Shoftim, the Parsha of Ohrei Miklot as well. Now, they told us in school that an expert is a person who can't give a simple answer to a simple question. I'm not an expert. I hope to give you simple answers, or simple kashyas anyway. The answers aren't so clear. Simple kashyas which can interest anybody. Lichura. The Chumash makes very clear to us in various ways the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Everybody knows that the west border is the Mediterranean. The Gemara in Gittin probably learned it in the Daf Yomi, said it doesn't follow the coastline. When you swim out and on the beach, you don't go to Chutz Loretz. It's the line which goes an angle, Alachson, which goes all the way down to a certain place, and you have to swim a long, long way out to get out of Eretz Yisrael. The border on the east side is the Jordan River, that part that we see. High up, we don't really know. The northern border is guarded very safely by Hezbollah and Nasrallah. Nobody gets there nowadays anyway. There's a Maharit who lived in the 17th century, died 1645. He said that it's Nahugu to assume the northern border, or part of it, is the Chatzbani River, which is way in Lebanon. The south border, this interests us more than anything else nowadays, because it's now Israeli territory. People never ever used to live there. Even the Kaftar of Ferach didn't bother to go in. He said, the Hadromiyot, the southern border, Kvayadatem, you know what they are. They're mentioned in Chumash. Well, what is mentioned in Chumash? What's mentioned in Chumash is that the south border goes from Ktsei Yam HaMelach, Kedma, from the edge of the Dead Sea, which is further the southwest corner, and this goes along to Nachal Mitzrayim. Now, Nachal Mitzrayim is El Arish. It doesn't appear on Israeli maps nowadays. It's already Egyptian territory. That's why we have this little map to just help us out. Just to have some idea what we're talking about. But this is on the border of Sunday Egypt. The very end of the border, they just fit in. Lots of Lulavim come there, not the best Lulavim. Lots of Lulavim come from El Arish. So, the south border, thank you, Jonathan, is from here to here. How does the border go? So, the Chumash says, the Nosav, thank you, put it down, thank you, the Nosav. And that means the border bulges, either bulges in or bulges out. And this is Rashi, also there's a Vilna Gaon on that. Anyway, what it means is it's a sort of a gentle loop, one way or another, from the south over here, reaching the Mediterranean over there. Exactly where the border is, we don't know nowadays where Kodesh Barnea is and where Atzmoino is. Our guess is some of them intelligent, and some of them less intelligent, and some of them really wild. So obviously it has to be Machmir one way or another, and there's a certain halachas. The point is really that there's a way of proving from the psukim of Ohrei Miklot what we don't know from the psukim in Parshas Maaseh. We have Psukim, which we read 2 weeks ago, that Shilashto Gevul Artzcho, you shall divide into three the border of your land, Ashean Chilcho Hashem Elokecho. Rashi brings us a very clear Gemara in Makkos Daf Yud as follows, that they should be from the southern border until Chevr, until the first Ir Miklot, the same distance as from the first Ir Miklot to the second Ir Miklot, and similarly to the third Ir Miklot, and the same distance to the north border. Well, we know from Sefer Yoshua, two of the Ir Miklot were Chevron and Shechem. And the little which we have certainty about geographical places in Eretz Yisrael, we do know for certain, everybody knows where Hebron is. Anybody who doesn't know where Maros HaMachpelah is, we know this from the time of Avraham Avinu. And Hebron, and Shechem, Yosef HaTzadik, Kever Yosef, he was buried in Shechem. There's a very clear tradition throughout the ages, this is the Kever of Yosef HaTzadik. There's no question about that one. And Shechem is well known for all the ancient books as well. The Romans called it Nablus. It's mentioned all over sources. So, Lichura, one could get to work and try and see where the Ir Miklot take us. We have over here somebody did the work and he marked for himself the Ir Miklot. Here we are. If you look over here, you will see Hebron is clearly marked over here. And Shechem is clearly marked over here. So if I had a compass and more time, I would show it to you with a pencil on a piece of string. One would go, the distance has been measured to be something like 59 kilometers, work it out in miles, I don't know. The difference from Shechem to Hebron is whatever it is. And the difference from Shechem to Kedesh, we don't really know where Kedesh is, Lichura, but the distance should be equidistant, and this taking us to the north border as well. If so, when we want to look where the south border ought to be, Al-Pi HaTorah, we don't know where Kedesh, we don't know this, Ma'alei HaKarabim, but we know more geography than many other people knew before us. We now have aerial photographs, and we can measure things far better than they could. It comes out very, very clearly, it's been measured by people, but this comes out to be very interesting. Comes out, we said Hebron is over here, right? So it comes out roughly over here. This map shows very clearly in relief the contours of the land. Yam HaMelach, the Dead Sea, is very low, the lowest part of the globe beneath sea level. And this is very low as well. You see from the Greek color, it's called the Arava. We'll come on to that in a minute. Here you see mountains. Here you see a sharp drop. And Reb Chaya says this. So 60 years ago, a friend of mine, Tzavit Kocha, Mikfar Hasidim, published an article in a very, very nondescript booklet. And he showed us, Nochinami, this fits in very well with all the Chazalim that we know. The distance from Hebron to Shechem is 59 kilometers. Takes you all the way down to this, what they call it, Kurnub nowadays, Ma'alei HaKarabim. Looks a little bit like a scorpion over here. It's a well-known place, no, if you take children over to Yulim. And this is the place which is called Ma'alei HaKarabim. The border comes over here. Of course, we can't work with magnifying glass. It has to be a little bit machmir, right? But the directions are very clear. Then in 1980, Agur Chaim Grenemann published his sefer on Makkos, and on that Gemara, he said, well, if so, we know then where the border of Eretz Yisrael ought to be. And then came along Agur Chaim Kanievsky, that fell, probably two or three shmittas ago, Derech Emunah. He also had a map in his sefer, Derech Emunah Trumas, Gimel, Dalet, I think it is. And also, it comes out of the border, he doesn't mention this particular Gemara, he mentions other Gemaras. So this would be a very, very simple way of telling people where the border would be. Of course, we can't pass in the rice all that simply, but nevertheless, it gives you a good feeling. That's about okay. So we have over here, you take the southern end of the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, by the way, is drying up over the year, but not so enough. The plague of Mokum is clear now. So this takes you something like a sort of a broad circular line.
Why the circular, not straight?
Sorry?
Why the circular and not a straight line?
Because we are in the Sahara Desert, where all the borders are straight, because there's nothing there to prevent the border being straight. If you look on the map in North Africa, this looks as though they've cut up the Sahara Desert with a line like a birthday cake. Straight lines of Algeria here, straight line over there, straight line over there, and similar Mali and all these Niger and all these wonderful places. Straight lines, there's no reason why they shouldn't be straight. The borders here, they follow the contours of the land, that's what it turns out, right?
No, you mentioned that there was a posuk that implied, that suggested...
Yes, so the posuk says the Nosav and are similar to Shoinas, right? So from that we know that there are bumps in and bumps out. The more exactly how these were, we don't know, but we do know they aren't going to be straight, okay? And since we're now living in the land, right, and they're geographers and experts in nature, they realize now that these seem to follow the cavative, the natural way that a border should be. And here it's very, very clear indeed, right? They call these the northern mountains of the Negev. Hare Negev Atzfoniim. There are southern mountains as well, lower down. I want to show you, Foshet, that the place that you probably heard of them, presumably if you've got children or grandchildren, in Tifrach, where I have a son who lives in Tifrach, not far from Be'er Sheva, right? There's a place at Yerucham, there's Dimona, where the Kuratomi, the atomic center is, right? All these places are within the borders of Eretz Yisrael, or within the border, and actually the end of the border is Sedei Boker, if you happen to know what that means, where our good friend Ben Gurion is buried. There's a medrash from Chazal, in the time of Kavakar Shvogu, Lechoiz b'chanfei ha'oretz, v'yinav shoyim hemeno. This person's living on his bed on the border, he might be the first person to be chucked out, I don't know. That's not the gear to our subject, okay? So all these places over here, they are well included in the borders of Eretz Yisrael. It goes like this, boom, 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 that's how it goes. And this actually, there was a geographer, a walking encyclopedia, who came from Germany as early as the 1831. Before Reb Shmuel Salant, and Reb Zunel Salant came to Yerushalayim, Reb Yosef Schwartz, he was from Bavaria, he learned in the Yeshiva in the Wilksburg, was a geographer. Yeah, and he knew history as well, he knew classics as well. And he noticed that it's called Tevu'ois Ha'oretz, meaning that's the expression of in Tanakh, right? The progress of the land, and he wrote about the geography of Gvulot Ha'aretz, he wrote about the history as well, he wrote everything he knew. He knew all the languages necessary, you see. Not just Hebrew, not just Latin, not just Greek, he knew Arabic as well. So he could use all the ancient sources that people couldn't really use. So he wrote the Peshitos of the Gvul, is this Gvul over here. We mentioned over stable cave, no stable cave. Now, Kanyevsky uses the word Nachal Nitzana. Here's the seal called Nachal Tzin. And this is nowadays called, in common parlance, Nachal Nitzana. People ask Kanyevsky in the Shaila, what's so holy about Nachal Nitzana? There's nothing holy about Nachal Nitzana. But the idea is to encourage Yivre Chazal, Al Piyam Tzils. And the Betzion says that this fits in with everything, right? And this also is the Amistaber, right? The border from the south over here shouldn't go all that way, you know, wildly to Africa, right? That is the Cheshbon of the southern border. If you use the what's written in Chazalim, and you also use the story of the Ori Miklos, you have a fairly clear picture of where the border should be. There was indeed somebody else who came 80 years after this, Rav Yosef Schwartz. His paper was published just before the First World War. His name was Mr. Yitzhak Goldhar. He was a surveyor by profession. He worked for the Keren Kayemet in the Galil. And then he was wounded or injured, and so he started writing a paper. It's called Admas Kodesh. So he used quite a bit of similarities between Hebrew and Arab names, and he brought the border down more to the south, some 40 kilometers down to the south. So it means that the belly of the land goes down more to the south. So the truth is that it's a little bit exaggerated, but the Haredis say, no, okay. So somebody said it should be 40 kilometers more to the south. It will be Machmir. The Maisa is not so much to be Machmir about, is there? Because nothing grows in these places. It's all empty, right? And after me, we'll come on in 1 second and then the next stage of the story. So they say, okay, then, so we can say, take it a little more south to somewhere else. And I forget the name of the place, not so important. Then, so this would seem to be fairly reasonable. It says, so we have to be machmir a little bit in halachas d'oraisa, right? You can't work with a centimeter to decide a gvul. But no, there's nothing doing that anyway. The nafkminuk would be if you want to live in Eretz Yisrael and you live further south, there's an army center which is called Mitzpeh Rimon, Machtesh Rimon. Here we are. This is an army center, and this you see comes in. There's an army center. There's an air center over there, all the way down. And this there was a very interesting gentleman, a nifter, in the last winter, Harav Yosef Lieberman. Maybe you've seen this sefer, 4 volumes originally, was on Seches Shviyis. He published this already in the 1960s. The number of Shemri Shviyis I saw was afsi, was getting him at klum. People weren't used to keeping Shmita. He wrote, he sat on Seches Shviyis for some 15 years, and he published 4 volumes, Vishoinim, Acharonim, his own heresies. Also, he was by profession an architect. So he learned in Hebron Yeshiva and Hebron Koimil, and he worked for a certain firm of architects. And he sat in Koilel for the rest of the day, and he produced a wonderful map. I couldn't bring it with me, unfortunately, but that is really the standard map with all the shittas written on it, printed in Koilel. Wrote it by himself, but you see his writing, he's an architect, the way he writes things down. And this map, you see, he brings all that one can say about it. So China started coming through to him. Rabbi Yosef, I have to be on the army duty, on Yericho. On Purim, what day do I read the Megillah? He got an answer. The other guy writes about as follows. We're thinking of building a Shuna Haredit in Mitzpeh Rimon, an Orthodox settlement there. It's far cheaper there, and we could be Mekarev Yidden. Is this Eretz Yisrael or not? So he says in the end, well, this is really the Machlekes, two possibilities. And also, far more than the Machlekes, it's a matter of common sense and Hashkofa. We have to ask the Vichoshev Rabbonim what they say about that. Well, whether one sends a tzibur out to a place which is Sophic Eretz Yisroel, Sophic not. He was very, very careful about that one. It's a pity of the place, right? All right. Now, what happened was that in 1973, after the Six-Day War was afterwards in Motzoe Shmita in 1967. I arrived in Israel in 1968. So the land of everything being possible moved from America to Eretz Israel. There was nothing doing in this whole area, you see. We'll talk about that in a minute. There was nothing, it was empty, right? Empty, empty, empty. Even for tourists, there's nothing to do over there. Only mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun, and in the next day, even mad dogs and Englishmen don't go. There's nothing to do there. And Rabbi Yosef Schwarz, he was afraid to visit the place because he probably found himself a head shorter. The Bedouins weren't very friendly or particularly good manners to anybody. So it became possible, with new technology, to start producing things over here. The low territory with the green of the Arava. I don't have to translate the word Arava. Whatever you want to translate it, it's good for me. Arava Funit. The Arava goes all the way down, the Afro-Asian rift actually, all the way down to Eilat and goes through to Africa as well, Tanganyika, Kenya, everything. So they started making agriculture over here. So the Ed Haredis was looking to provide fruit and vegetable for the tzibur. The tzibur had grown, and vegetables were growing as well in this part of Eretz Yisrael. So the question was, can they take from there or not? So Rabbi Yosef Lieberman, he was also Hungarian, like the Hedachalidis, they called him to them, tell us what you have to say about it. So he explained to them, it's very simple, that actually the south border has to go from east to west and west to east, right? Why do I stress this? In a minute I'll tell you something rather crazy that was said by people over the years. And therefore, a border, however far it goes down, before turning to the west, has to turn at one point to the west, right? So all these places you're talking about over here are deep in the cleft underneath of the Jordan, underneath Yam HaMelach. So We can't allow ourselves to take from over here, for example. It's a little bit too dangerous. We can take from over here. So what the matter was that there was an arrangement between the Jordanians and the Israelis that they would rent land to do agriculture. If there was, let's say, a kibbutz over here, so how much land do they have? They used to pay money. The Jordanian government used to get in through a particular gate every day to work their field and to go back. The Jordanians had money and the Israelis had fruit and vegetables. Can you take this or not? So it's very interesting. You see, a few shvitas ago, I was the greengrocer, and the greengrocer becomes the Beis HaMidrash if you're lucky, right? So somebody said to me, you know, we had an Azkara, Yotzai, in our family, and so we have somebody who lives in Ein Yahav, one of the little places over here, and he brought a lot of tomatoes, you know, out of the family. I didn't know whether I could take or not. So I told him a little, I could tell him about it. And then a few weeks later, he said, yes, I met him again. He said to me, yeah, the Rabbanim are now to take from the fields over here, and not from the fields over there. All right? So, that's the way things work until today. They take from the Arava, the Arava. The question is, will you take from the Arava higher up or lower down? This is called the Arava Tzfonit, the northern part of the Arava. We call this Arava Tichona. And there's the southern part of the Arava, which is certainly way out of the way, right? This makes everything in the garden lovely, lichura. However, it's a pill, actually. Everybody knows, before you want to be Mati and Aguda, well, you have to go to the old Moshe Feinstein, the line, you go to him. Rav Eliashib, you go to him. For that was Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, you go to him. And Rav Weiss from Manchester, and he was also in his peak, you went to him. You go to the real experts, right? Not every local rabbi, however great he may be, is allowed to be Mati and Aguda. This is a real business. Now, Rav Eliashib was certainly the kingpin of Halacha over the last few years. He didn't approve of Rechaim Kanievsky, his son-in-law Rechaim Kanievsky's map. In a very polite way, of course. He said, Rechaim Kanievsky writes as follows. I sent my divrei Torah with the map to Moiri Chomi Shlisa, to my father-in-law Shlisa. And he wrote back as follows. I've seen all that you've written, Alpi Gemara, Shas, Poskim, Yerushalmi, Bavli, Tosefto, and it's all wonderful what you've written. Aval, Halacha Meiseh, Halacha Moirin Kain, practical halacha to tell everybody, pat on them on their shoulder, yeah, go ahead and do that. Midei Sfeiko Leinafko, we haven't left the Matzah of a Sofek, Ad Yovoi Moira Tzedek, means the Moshiach. The Moshiach will come and tell us exactly where it is. The same. Then a few years later, Rabbi Eliashib Lemaiseh, he was behind a number of Hechsherim. One is called She'eris Yisroel, which is a Bnei Barak center. And then also the Hechsher of Bells, which various Kufas was very much run under the directives of Rabbi Eliashib. I think there's a third one as well, I've forgotten the name maybe. And then Rabbi Eliashib said to them, you take from 30 degrees and nothing higher above that. Why 30? Let's see where 30 degrees is. You see here the red line. This is Kav Shloshim, 30 degrees north of the equator. Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim is up over here, right? Roughly 31 and a half, I believe. The Rambam said in Kiddush Kiddush HaChodesh, the Rambam was a Ben Ayetz, he was a mathematician. And so he wrote out everything, as we know. Kiddush HaChodesh is a treatise on astronomy, and I don't understand a word of it, but those who read it, they say it's wonderful. The Rambam said, all the Heshbonos I've made fit from 30 to 35 degrees where Eretz Yisroel is, and all that I've given you is enough for you to get to work now and all the calculations. Now, to say that the Rambam was over here giving the geography of Eretz Yisroel to 30, 35 degrees, that really sounds crazy, right? And when Rabbi Eliashib first publicized the 30 degrees, people misunderstood it to say that, oh, he thinks that this Rambam is, Eretz Yisroel goes all the way down to 30 degrees. But I heard a drosha, one of his closer Talmidim, Efrati, who's in charge of various Hechsherim, said, no, it's just a way of getting out all the sfeikas. How does this work? Very simple. Because the Kafto of Ferach, who was a Talmid of the Rosh, that goes back to the early 14th century. He wrote a big Sefer on Eretz Yisrael. What Rabbi Schwarz did in the 19th century, he did in the 14th century. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. It was empty. He came there, and he writes about everything. So he said, he has a kasha. Maybe from Gittin, some people might remember him. The question is, that Rabbi Yehuda, his opinion is, that the line of the board does not go diagonally like this. It goes straight from Hoer Hohor, whatever that may be, and from here also, Nachal Yisraim, goes straight along until the Straits of Gibraltar. So they ask Akashia, well, if so, then parts of Africa are going to the Eretz Yisrael as well, and parts of France as well. This is a very better Rabbi Peter in Troisus, Gittin Daf and Afchef. So he says, no, because we're talking about only about the sea, and we are talking about Yad Vashem, about the dry land. So we understand, and also he says that these places are most of them more distant than 30 degrees over the 30 degrees line. So says Rabbi Yashin, okay. So you see, with Poshet to the Kafta of Ferah, more than 30 degrees it doesn't come into question at all. Okay, so let's take that and say more than 30 degrees doesn't come into Cheshvan at all. And so you can take that to 30 degrees. Okay, that means the last third, roughly, going down to Eilat. Eilat is over here. So you take produce from over there. What grows there? Well, nowadays everything grows everywhere, right? In this low part of the Jordan, they managed to bring water, goodness knows from where. And so obviously the transport bringing up to the town costs an extra petrol. So you, those who want to, they'll buy it, right? The Maaseh, you see, despite the great Derech after Rabbi Yashin, this is really regarded by other Rabbonim as being extreme, too extreme. Of course, certain Echelim do follow that. But the Metzias, you see, it doesn't really make all that sense. We still have... I haven't got very much time. The subject really is involved in a certain historical quandary what happened. The whole discussion of the Negev started after the State of Israel was founded and they conquered Eilat, all the way down to Eilat, over here. Why did they conquer Eilat? Very simple, to have a sea exit, to have access to the sea, very important. The soldiers were arrived, they had nothing to put, they wanted to put up a flag. So somebody had a white shirt or a white vest, and he stuck it on a pole, and he drew Magen David in blue, and the stripes of Israel. That was the Israeli flag. We've arrived here. Then people started moving there. Came along a certain Rav Tikhochinsky. Now, if you know Mr. Tikhochinsky, you might know him from the calendar, the yearly calendar that's published, just Tutz Loris as well. He was married to a granddaughter of Rav Shmuel Salant. He was very much a mamshich of Rav Shmuel Salant. So the question was, you see, keep 2 days of Yontem, where exactly? How about Tel Aviv, or Shalayim? Perhaps not, but Tel Aviv, and Haifa, and Rishon LeZion, and Savion, and Herzliya, Kfar Shemaya, everywhere, right? So he went through the Rambam, etc. And he sent this Shaila to all sorts of Rabbonim throughout the country. So there were three who actually wrote him in addition in their answers. One of them was the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish wrote, well, you know, the Ritva says you follow Eretz Yisrael. And the Ritva fits in better with the Sugya, and therefore we are Talmidim of the Ritva in this subject. Therefore, anywhere in Eretz Yisrael keeps one day yonder. The Rambam says you have to know the Shluchim got to a particular place. They got to Brent Cross or Golders Green Station or Tel Aviv, you know, wherever the people were. And if you don't know that, keep 2 days. The Rambam said not so. Now, the Chazon Ish was talking, actually, about Yom Tov, and he's talking about Bnei Brak, Tel Aviv, anywhere, Rishon LeZion, Haifa. Rav Tikhochinsky was so clear to him that the Gvul of Eretz Yisrael went down to the south, based on a certain piece of in Arabic or Rav Sadia Gaon, was poshut him, the Chazon Ish was working on his lines. So he like, okay, the Chazon Ish says also that Eilat is one day Yom Tov, wonderful. Yeah, that's the end of the time. And so at the end of it, they both were nifta without kufa, and the subject got lost in the storeroom, and that's the end of our subject today.
Shkoda.
Sacco ist das so, alle
Fieber.
Wir haben so ein Messer schon immer. Wir haben so ein Messer schon immer.